we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from The Sun, read by Peter Donaldson.
Police arrested two girls for taking a daily walk in the nude after keeping watch on them for a week.
Well, thank you, Mr. C. Sharp of Leon C. for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Clive Anderson. Before we start round one, here's news of a unique event billed in the Maidstone Star.
The First Act Opera Company is presenting a special charity performance of La Boheme on Saturday. The show features the songs of Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, and Fats Domino.
Well, thank you, Vera Roberts of Maidstone, for sending us that. Richard, your first question. Who has had an increasingly interesting time just lately?
I beg your pardon?
Who's had an increasingly interesting time just lately?
Well, I have for one. I've been appearing on Radio 2. Anyway, on account of that, I am rather out of touch. At the old age, we've been...
It's not on account of that you're out of touch.
Could you be referring to other events that have been taking place?
Yes, one or two things that may have fluttered past.
Well, I did hear rumours of some kind of crisis going on. I don't know if you heard them, Barry.
That's more than the Prime Minister did.
Major has been going around saying the pound would be devalued over his dead body, and now it's been devalued. Over his dead body.
Well, yeah, apparently the rate's just gone up 2%. No, that's a lie.
We're down. You see, we're recording this on a Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, and it goes out on a Saturday. Therefore, we don't quite know what's happened.
Is this why nobody's mentioning the name of the Chancellor of the Exchequer on the office?
Yes.
For a Monday repeat, or it's obviously, working a few names.
Absolutely right. Anyway, after a week of turmoil, the pound is now rallying strongly against the Matabele bean. And city experts have put the sterling crisis down to a short-term economic freak called Norman. Yes, it's Chancellor Norman Lamont, or if you're listening to the Monday repeat, that should read the former Chancellor. Never mind. Ian, your question now. Who won't be back in the arms of his former employer?
I think this is a reference to Nicholas Davis.
You're absolutely right, it is.
Who was the foreign editor of The Mirror.
That's right.
And under a man called... who was the big fat bloke?
I don't know, it escapes me as well.
I had him on the tip of my tongue.
Anyway, he's dead. so that's one bit of good news this week. No, there was an industrial tribunal. This man, Nicholas Davis, was accused of being an arms dealer. And he said he was unfairly dismissed because he'd lied to his employers about whether he'd been in Ohio or not. And really, who cares?
Quite right, it was Nick Davis, the foreign editor, who didn't know where Ohio was, nor anything about gun running, until someone printed a photograph of him in front of a road sign which read, "Ohio welcomes careful arms dealers." Davis lost his claim against the Daily Mirror for unfair dismissal, but at least he'll keep the same pension benefits as all the other employees. Clive, your question is, who packed them in but refused to admit a pact? Been going on all this week.
Is this not the libel case going on? Is
it? No, it's... Well, it could be. It's a few more letters than libel.
Oh, libel? Liberal? Liberal? yes, that came to me in a flash of Alan Corran's inspiration. I thought the libel case was more interesting with David Mellor, which he seems to be in everything these days, but he's not in the Liberal Party.
No.
This is Paddy Ashdown has got hundreds and millions of Liberal supporters, packed into a telephone box in Harrogate. And he wants to join up with the Labour Party, and they don't, or they do, and nobody cares. Or
It is rather confused, I do admit. Yes, you get your points with that. As a matter of fact, Paddy Ashdown refused even to consider a pact with Labour on the grounds that any party could yet win the next election. After all, he pointed out, no one correctly predicted the winner of the last one. True, Paddy, they may have got the winner wrong, but most got the third place pretty accurately. Meanwhile, one of their 20 MPs, David Alton, decided he was going to stand down at the next election. 4 years to go, and there's already a 5% swing against them. Alan, here's a surprise. It's a piece of music for you.
Good.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
That was unsurprisingly called the Tax Man, and the question is, why was one left feeling blue after a visit from the man in grey?
Well, we don't know much about this, really. This was behind closed doors.
Yes.
While the corridors were full of her rutting offspring, the Queen was talking to John Major.
Hello.
About this. I was very hard. She had to raise her voice frequently. Also, her son's lost his credit cards. Got the wrong slot again. During John Major's regular annual visit to the Queen to borrow money, he suggested to her that £1.4 million, or 8 marks, should be... should be cupped out of her gravy and given to the people who are her... suppressed subjects. I think that's it, really.
This is Her Majesty the Queen, who may soon be paying income tax, a move which will bring her in line with other 65-year-old billionaires. Although, unlike most of her family, she will be able to claim a married person's allowance. John Major arrived at Balmoral to discuss the troubled state of the monarchy and left with the Queen agreeing to take a pay cut. It's amazing what people will do to get rid of him. The scores at the end of the first round are unsurprising, they always are on these occasions, a tie at 4-all. We start round two with a cutting from a book review page of the Northern Echo.
Anthony Trollope's career with the post office took off in 1841 when he was posted to Ireland.
Well, thank you, Peter Humble of Pickering, for sending us that one. Richard, who has ordered a takeaway takeaway?
Takeaway takeaway is some...
It's near Salisbury.
Is it to do with Chinaman? Oh, I do know about this. Yes, it's to do with the CV, isn't it?
Yes.
Where at Salisbury Cathedral, they had some wonderful scheme that if you got into the cathedral, you could get a chitty which would entitle you to a free... There's somewhere called McDonald's or something.
Where sort of communion bun, was
it? Communion bun. You could get your chitty in the cathedral. You
with a wine shake.
Yeah, exactly. And, amazingly, quite a lot of people complained about this. And now the bishops decided to scrap the whole thing.
This refers to Salisbury Cathedral, which has been forced to stop its sponsorship deal with McDonald's hamburgers after the bishop refused to give the scheme his blessing. Under the Have a Nice Pray deal, tourists visiting the cathedral have been given medieval-style scrolls entitling them to a discount on fish and loaf McBishop burgers at the nearby McDonald's, which can seat up to 5,000 customers. Ian, whose bunker shot remains to be seen?
This is Hitler. And is he still alive?
No,
the Russians have
found him.
There's a picture.
But he's in a hole.
He's dead, is he?
He's dead, yes.
Oh. Well, that's a disappointment to Germany, isn't it?
Would you like me to extrapolate on
yes,
this
please
one?
Do.
It's some... I think it was a mistake, probably, to volunteer to extrapolate. But I believe that what has happened is that the Russians have produced some film which purports to be the Hitler's grave in Red Square, where he's been lying in state for several years.
Next to the Big Mac counter.
This will now be shown to Professor Trevor Roper and David Irving.
What are they? Well, his frozen body, that's the...
there any pictures of Fergie with Hitler?
No.
Yeah, we don't get the idea he was frozen.
It was pretty cold when they...
It's Adolf McNuggets. It's like...
It's an old newsreel shown in Russia this week of Hitler's body in his Berlin bunker, which seems to prove that the Führer didn't get burnt. He got out of Stirling just in time. He survived, albeit dead, before the remains were destroyed in 1970. The ancient grainy TV film shows a grey, hollow-cheeked man with a small moustache wearing a peaked cap. It's either Hitler or a short clip of Blakey from On the Buses.
Oh, I hate you, Churchill.
The body appears to be complete in every detail except one, of course. And we pause now for an item from the Bradford Community College Business Studies brochure.
Word processing course. No computer knowledge necessary. Evening classes can be either mornings or afternoons.
Thank you, Janet Morell, for sending us that. Clive, will you have a listen to this?
Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if he won't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down.
And your question is, how do single figures happily add up to millions?
Single figures. There was a survey that said that people who live on their own are quite happy about it. Is that it?
That's the one. Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit dull to get straight away. It's one of those absurd surveys that discovers that people who have lost their husband or wife are not that happy about being on their own, but people who have decided all their life to stay on their own are pretty happy with it.
And
divorced people are halfway between the two. And it's so obvious that would be the result.
It's when the people who turn up to do the survey, these poor buggers are so happy to see them.
Drag them inside and say, a wonderful life. How perceptive of you, Alan, but you live a sadder life than I do. So.
It was the survey published this week which contradicts the common belief that single people have a miserable time. Just about the only disadvantage seems to be cost. It's still true that two can live as cheaply as one, so as part of those civilist cutbacks, royal couples are now going to be asked to try living in the same house as one another. Alan, who drove a hard bargain but didn't find the right formula?
Is this about Nigel?
It is about Nigel.
This is a terrible blow to the Union Jack vest industry. Nigel Mansell is not going to be driving anywhere next year, except round his Isle of Man estate counting his money. Because Williams have taken on Alain Prost, with whom he doesn't get on.
He was offered a sort of derisory £7 million, and naturally, he was insulted. He was insulted by that. So
yeah, I wouldn't drive for that.
Anyway, it's the sad news of the retirement of Formula One champion Nigel Mansell, the face of happy motoring. He decided that several million pounds a year wasn't enough for driving round in circles for 2 hours a week. Thousands of commuters do that every day for nothing. So, the scores at the end of the second round are still tied, 8-all. Known as a ding-dong battle, and we start round three with news from Poland, reported in the Daily Telegraph.
Iwanita Sokolowicz, distraught that her husband was having an affair, attempted suicide by jumping from an eighth-floor window, only to land on her husband and kill him.
Thank you, Jackie Redmond of Maidenhead, for sending us that. Richard, your question again. Where is a long wave of protest growing?
A long wave?
Long wave, as in...
It's all to do with radio waves. Not to do...
You make it sound as though they were discovered yesterday. Radio waves.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I've told you, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I have been working at Radio 2. Jolly interesting.
This is about Belgium.
Belgians?
The Walloons, like listening to the Archers.
That's exactly
right. And Michael
so.
Checkland is going to cut them off.
Is he?
Wow. They're the only people who listen to the Archers. It's astonishing. There are a million Walloons, French, a few Dutch. These assorted Heligolanders and people living in tiny islands on reclaimed land.
They listen to Radio 2 as well, then, in
chance. No,
that's Wally's, not
They are, even as we speak, listening to us, Alan. This is the European movement protesting against the BBC's plan to stop broadcasting popular Radio 4 programmes on long wave to our continental friends, to whom we send this special greetings message. Goodbye. Programmes like the News Quiz will be particularly missed, according to a report in the Daily Mail, a fine, unbiased journal, and a great read at only 30p. The Archers are especially popular in Belgium, particularly at the EC, who use Eddie Grundy as a yardstick of the success of their common agricultural policy in Britain. If Eddie gets a subsidy, they know it's going horribly wrong. Ian, have a listen to this. Very photogenic, but let me make one thing clear. Take every picture from the left and miss my cauliflower ear. Well, that was called Centrefold, and your question is, whose face will be hitting the covers in a major way?
Oh, I think we actually know this. This is Norma Major.
Yes.
Who's to appear as a centrefold in Playboy. They're very worried about their image, the Conservatives. Yeah. Bit dull, bit stuffy. So Norm's bearing all. And apparently very, very interesting it is too.
He's exaggerating a bit, Barry.
Yes, he is exaggerating. It's all about Norma Major, who became Tatler's latest cover girl with a photograph which made her look like a million lira. Bright, glamorous Mrs. Major, the sinking man's crumpet, was pictured... wearing only British-made garments, such as a Jasper Conran dress, tastefully topped off with the National Coldboard Donkey Jacket. And we pause now for a cutting from the Woolwich and Charlton Mercury.
A cull of foxes on Ministry of Defence land was organised last week by Major Anthony Rabbit.
Thank you, Peter Sitch, for that one. Clive, what self-made plan proved to be pie in the sky, Mr.
Are you addressing me as Mr., or was that a clue?
The clue lies in Pye and Mr. Took place in Cornwall.
Well, there it is. Cornwall, a fine county, rugged coastline, excellent for holidaying if you haven't got the money to go
pasties
abroad, or even if you have.
Pasties. Yes, no. It's a man is building some kind of giant pasty.
Pasties,
it's a cross-channel pasty or something.
No. I'm not going to give anybody any marks with this. It's straight-talking tycoon Doug Grocut, who ditched plans for a pork pie factory in Cornwall. When he addressed a council official by his Christian name and was told, call me Mr. Down to earth, call me Doug, a man who calls a spade and a mixture of dead pig and pastry and meat pie, is to take his product elsewhere.
Well, this week the whole economic system of the globe has gone fut. And you expect me to know about somebody's pie factory not being opened up in... There'd be no money to buy pies for anybody.
I thought that fut was jolly restrained.
Alan, whose letters of contention go from bad to verse?
Oh, it's old Larkin, who didn't want them published, I think. You know, it's like Larkin and Amos, they simply slag people off in these private public letters, which eventually get turned into controversial books and sell vast numbers, because you can do that when you're dead. If you're alive, there's actually no chance. But he was a miserable old thing, Larkin, great poet. And a miserable old thing. And people like Seamus Heaney and Tom Gunn and Ted Hughes come in for stick. Malevolent little coterie of minor hacks. Slagging one another off. Rather like the News Quiz, really.
Absolutely right. It's the imminent publication of the letters of Philip Larkin. In one letter, Hull's original Wet Weekend described one writer as crap, predating the first Geoffrey Archer novel review by at least 10 years. And the scores at the end of round three are quite interesting, because Richard and Ian are 10, but Alan and Clive have leapt into the lead with 11. But before we start the final round, here's a cutting from The Times.
Chris and Terry Hobbs can no longer find a buyer for their home after the collapse of a derelict mineshaft under a Cornish housing estate. "We were going to move into our dream cottage," said Mr. Hobbs, "but now everything has fallen through."
Thank you, Mary Dutoit of Timmouth, for that one. Richard, here's a piece of music for you. Well, that was the theme of Jaws, and the question is, where did a big one get away?
This is relating to fish, is it not?
The deduction is profound, Watson.
Are we going to have the dirty Alexander judge by chance? I do hope this dirty judge is going to be referred to.
No.
I don't think we have to bring up the judge on this programme.
You mean the kissing judge?
Yeah, the judge who sexually assaulted someone in his chambers.
No, he's not in it.
I don't want to hear any more about that judge.
He goes on holiday for a fortnight, causes nothing but trouble when he comes back.
The fact that he assaulted this usher should never have been brought up on this program.
It was not.
Well, I'm glad it hasn't been.
Yes, I'm glad. Perhaps we can move on to the next question now.
Which is about this judge.
Alan's come up with the answer.
Does Alexandra Palace strike a familiar note?
It does. It hits it
right. Well, not
right
with me.
The...
It just sort of came out of the blue.
You hit it right on the button. It all takes place in Alexandra Palace. And where would you find a fish in Alexandra Palace? But the boating lake.
Well, no, I don't know it.
No,
no. Absolutely no idea. It's simply that Alexandra Palace is never far from my thoughts.
Well, this story is all about Britain's most wanted fish. I've been informed.
Smoked salmon.
Not yet. It's a 4-foot, 30-pound pike, which has been terrorising the boating lake at Alexandra Palace, and in 2 years has eaten 40% of the pond's geese and ducklings, and an entire fleet of pedalos. With a 460-pound bounty on its head, the voracious predator, or Bundespike, as it's known, is still at large, despite having its photo featured on Crime Watch. True to form, it's such a likeness, several mackerel have been taken in for questioning. Ian, who went ape after getting his voice back beside the seaside?
Oh, no, this one.
Oh. Yeah, but it's Ian's question.
Yes, exactly. No chance.
Absolutely none at all.
This is about fish.
No, it isn't. It's about an ape.
I think it may be the judge.
Oh, yes, it's this... Judge Ape is his name.
Ape.
Who,
Oh, God.
Assaulted a fish, I believe.
Look,
he was given a very
hands...
stiff sentence.
He was.
He placed his hands on the fish's shoulders. Yeah. That was all he did. Really, Alan knows the answer to this.
I think the scene shifts to Blackpool Golden Mile, just in time for the conference season. There is a 15-foot King Kong.
Right.
And it shouts at people. I mean, it shouts, "I am King Kong," and it roars and does things, and people are supposed to crawl inside it and look at its workings.
Are you sure this is not John Smith, the leader of the Labour Party? You said the conference. Yeah.
And what's happened to it?
Did you know that the Danish for King Kong was Kong King?
It's very nice to mention Denmark just before we have to say goodbye to Danish listeners as we disappear off long way. They voted against the common market even before the French did yesterday or tomorrow or...
Now, it's all about Blackpool, you're quite right, Alan, all about Blackpool, where King Kong has won back his ferocious roar after the intervention of a High Court judge, Lord Justice Weismuller. The 15-foot gorilla, which advertises a horror exhibition, has been gagged after landlords complained his swatting of charter flights to the Isle of Man and strident gruntings were alarming passers-by who fled in terror screaming, "Ow! It's the return of Norman Willis!" The judge ruled Kong was to be allowed to continue bellowing at a reduced decibel level, which prompts the question, how do you look for the volume knob on a 15-foot gorilla? Very carefully, as David Clive, whose campaign was caught breaking the limits? Vroom, vroom.
Is this Skoda? Skoda cars? How extraordinary. You mimed a Skoda so brilliantly then. No, odd enough, one of the few stories this week I've actually seen, and they And there's sort of a bit of humour and wit into it. They've been advertising Skodas as being very fast cars, but the Advertising Standards Authority have stepped in and said you mustn't say that it can go at 75 miles an hour because that would be encouraging people to speed. Is that roughly
yes,
right?
Yes, it's exactly right.
If the French, vote is to be equal, we all know, or was yesterday, we are equal, then what happens? Does half of France stay with the grand market? So Vichy France stays with Germany, as it did before. And we get...
there you go.
And we get some sort of latter-day General de Gaulle free-floating downwards with us.
Alan, what model prisoner has been clunk-clicked?
I was just working out that I went to France yesterday and I'm coming back tomorrow. Such is the nature of this programme's bipolar activity. So it really distracted me.
Yes.
What? Is this a seatbelt thing? Do you say clunk-click?
No. It's a model... It's a prisoner. It's a model prisoner. Been clunk-clicked.
I know this. Well, this is somebody who's been wanted. He escaped from prison, Ford Open Prison, years and years ago. Yeah. And then he parked his car on a yellow line, and instead of just accepting the ticket and paying it and slinking off, he started arguing about it. And of course, just as they got Al Capone for income tax, they've now got him for parking on the yellow line.
That's exactly it.
What's the clunk-click bit about?
Clink.
He was
I missaid it. The question was, Alan, what model...
You missaid it? I've been publicly humiliated.
No, it's me. It's me that's been publicly humiliated. Any fool can say clunk-clinked, but not me. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard?
This is a very amusing advertisement in the Dawlish Gazette, of all things. It says, electric chair for sale, used 6 times.
Ian, what have you got for us?
Well, this was the leader in the Today newspaper on September the 10th this year. It says, a nation crippled by recession, sinking into slump, might think its government could lose no more credibility, but John Majors is, thanks to David Mellor. The Heritage Secretary has made himself a laughingstock, and by doing so threatens to drag down the Prime Minister, to whom he's a best friend. Some best friend. Mr. Major has enough problems without adding that of a cabinet minister whose pubic image has been reduced to that.
Did you get that, Belgium? Clive, what have you brought us?
Well, I got something here from the Yorkshire Post, which says that a terrified pensioner thought she had died and gone to heaven after she woke up in the middle of the Sound of Music. The elderly woman had fallen asleep before the curtain went up on the play at the Alexandra Theatre in Birmingham. When she woke, she saw nuns surrounding an altar, and convinced she was in heaven, she started screaming. As startled stewards calmed her down, Nazi stormtrooping actors burst into the theatre and scared her even more.
Alan, what have you brought?
I brought what comes from a letter in the Basildon Evening Echo. It says, yesterday, I went into the Basildon branch of W.H. Smith and was shocked to be confronted by a whole shelf of explicit sex videos. Does anyone else think it was a mistake, just a few short years ago, to publish Lady Chatterley's Rover? I think that should have been Lady Chatterley's Liver. I think.
Either way, well done. Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. No problem there. Richard and Ian have got a well-earned 10, but this week's winners by a mile are Alan and Clive with 16. Well done, chaps. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus, sent in by Isabel Allen of Bradford.
A detective taking part in a radio Crime Stoppers programme on Coventry's Mercia Sound took along a photo of a wanted man to show listeners.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Coroney, and Hislop and Clive Anderson. The chairman was Barry Took, and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.